Hello and welcome to the OnFIF podcast, a weekly discussion on key trends in investment and economic policy from some of the world's leading commentators. On this week's episode, we talk about the future of the central bank digital currencies. This is Bhavin Patel from London, and today we talk to Jonathan Dharmapalan, founder and CEO of eCurrency, and Tonis Brossens, lead economist for digital finance at ING Group. Thank you for joining us today and welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be there.
Thanks, Bhavin. Nice to be here.
So let's start off with understanding what CBDCs are. We've all seen forms of digital currencies and assets come out over the past few years, most of these coming from the introduction of Bitcoin in 2008, where people try to create their own decentralized monetary system. But moving away from cryptocurrencies, Jonathan, maybe you can tell us what central bank digital currencies are and how do they differ from conventional fiat currency and the reserves held at the central bank?
Sure, Bhavin. So they actually don't differ. So let me start with that. Central bank digital currency is first and foremost currency. It just happens to be digital issued by the central bank. And by being issued by the central bank, it mirrors all of the functionality of other forms of currency that the central bank issues. So central banks issue what we think of as sovereign currency or fiat currency today in the form of paper notes and metal coins. And we see central bank digital currencies as purely a form extension to the digital form. In total, a central bank digital currency, along with a central bank physical currency, paper and notes, the total value of that will essentially be the liability of the central bank. It is the unit of account that's recognized in that country or that sovereign or that republic. It is fungible across all forms, and it exists by decree, which means that it is a fiat currency. And frankly, a more accurate definition of a central bank digital currency would be a digital fiat currency. So it's almost better called a digital fiat, no different than a physical or a paper fiat currency or a coin fiat currency.
Thanks, good explanation there. Is there different variations we get within the system? And Tonis, maybe you have some further elaboration on this?
Yeah, well, I'm very happy with the explanation that Jonathan gives because there is often a lot of confusion about the concept of central bank digital currency. And I think when you ask 10 people what it is, then you get 15 different definitions. And I fully agree with what Jonathan says, that it's basically digital fiat currency. However, it is digital fiat currency brought to the 21st century. So basically it has all, or it could have all the properties that current digital fiat currency has, that current central bank reserves have, but it can have more. It can have smart features that we know from the blockchain and cryptocurrency world. It can be real, instant, unlike current payment systems. So yes, it's basically current fiat currency and with a lot of possibilities on top.
Yes, and we also say the crucial thing here is that wholesale currencies are already digital as it is, so it's all very retail in that sense, I guess.
I think you can also have wholesale central bank digital currency because, yes, current wholesale payment traffic, interbank payment and interbank transactions are indeed digital, of course. However, even there is much room for improvement. And in fact, I think that we will, before we move in the future to a world of a possible world of retail central bank digital currency, we will go there via wholesale central bank digital currency. That's what I think.
I would like to actually differentiate between a digital currency and a computerized record of assets and liabilities. So when we talk about wholesale today, meaning bank-to-bank transactions, those are essentially records of assets and liabilities, receivables and payments maintained at the bank level. Now, we all know that those are not effectively settled until they settle at a reserve or a settlement account at the central bank. Today, those transactions are executed using real-time gross settlement systems at a central bank. And I think when people talk about wholesale currencies, they're really referring to a computerized settlement between two banks that maintain a settlement account at a central bank. The possibilities that come with a central bank digital currency or a digital fiat currency is that it could actually enable banks to settle amongst themselves using a fiat or a value-based fiat instrument, no different than they would settle amongst themselves were they to carry a box of cash across the street and say, we're now settled. Meaning you can decentralize the settlement between commercial banks or wholesale settlements between commercial banks using a digital currency issued by a central bank without having to settle on a settlement account or a reserve account. I don't know if the difference there, what was clear in my description, but the possibilities of a digital fiat currency is that it not only enables retail transactions, but it also enables bank-to-bank transactions.
Yes, that's something Tony Sosa said. Once you have a retail version, you'll have to adopt the wholesale as well, come both hand in hand. This moves us to, why would a central bank want to issue a central bank digital currency? So what is the motivations? Is there a business case for this? Any thoughts, Tony?
I think that central bank digital currency has a number of advantages and the smart features that I talked about earlier. In fact, also from a monetary policy perspective, central bank digital currency offers new possibilities. A central bank could, in theory at least, attach different interest rates to a particular coin depending on who owns it, what is it used for. You can think of all kinds of conditions and features, although at the same time, I should say people, for example, in Germany, but in many jurisdictions around the world, are quite wary about central banks having these kinds of possibilities at their disposal because people are wary about negative interest rates. So central banks may not be very eager to exploit this particular feature, but still, this is a possibility on the horizon. I think also adopting the latest technology would enable central banks and supervisors, for example, to do real-time monitoring on what's going on in the system. Because yes, on the one hand, you could have decentralized settlement, so it doesn't need to go via the central bank. But at the same time, the central bank and bank supervisors can immediately and directly in real time monitor what transaction is going on. And so they have a fully up-to-date view from a monetary policy perspective, from a financial stability perspective, from a money laundering perspective. They have, well, you could almost say perfect information on what's going on in the monetary system. And that's a big plus.
I put the answer to that question in three categories: cost, elimination of friction, and inevitability. And I'm not sure which one is the most important, but let me address each of those. Today, the creation, dissemination, distribution, and final destruction of physical currency is a very, very expensive process. It's a huge burden on the economy, estimated anywhere between 2% and 4% of GDP by various parties who are frankly more reliable in computing those numbers than I am. But it is a very, very expensive process today to produce physical currency, to distribute physical currency, and to ultimately destroy and then go back to the same cycle of producing, distributing, and destroying. And the burden is not just on the central bank, but rather on the economy itself. And those numbers are well known, well published. And I think that is one of the three major motivations for a central bank to issue digital currency. The second one is the elimination of friction beyond just cost. Physical currency, which is used by something like 80% of the world's population, and a significant portion of those only use physical currency, are limited by a feature of physical currency, which is the inability to transcend space and time. So for me to execute a physical currency transaction with you, Bhavin, I have to be in the same place at the same time as you. And that creates significant friction in our ability to transact, to trade, to settle, to move the economy along. And we are essentially handicapping 80% of the world's population by not allowing them to transcend space and time, which they do today for commercial purposes, but they're not able to do today for currency settlement purposes. So the efficiencies brought by eliminating that friction, I think, are significant. And then you have the last point, which is sheer inevitability. The world is digitizing. Every transaction we execute today is essentially digitized. We are digitally enabled and empowered. Our next generation will have less fascination for physical representations of money, certainly less than we do, then who's to speak of two generations beyond? So the inevitability of the abstraction of money into a digital form, I think we can all acknowledge. It's a question of how do you do it right? How do you make sure that the appropriate entity or entities, in this case, the central bank, is in control or is in a supervisory capacity or is executing their mandate in a world that is inevitable. So digitization of money will happen. It just has to happen with the right oversight and supervision and responsibility that a central bank brings to the equation. So those are sort of the three categories I'd put the answer to that question.
So with this inevitability, with the frictions being removed and a lot of the central parties that are currently involved in making payments, maybe cross-border or even domestically as well, what disintermediation will we see? Will there be some sort of effect on the private sector? Would retail banks be affected? And what way would they respond if all of a sudden central bank is now issuing its own liability straight to the consumers?
It really depends on how this will be implemented, because on the one hand, you could say the central bank is going to do this all by itself, and in that case, there is a certain impact on banks. However, I think it is more likely that this will evolve in the form of public-private partnerships. And why is that? Well, because that's also how the current system works. Basically, we have the central bank doing the monetary policy, doing the supervision, financial stability monitoring, licensing banks, while the actual payment system and lending and money creation is done by commercial institutions, commercial banks supervised by the central bank. And I consider it likely, of course, I don't have a crystal ball, but I think it's likely that this will broadly be the format that central bank digital currency will take. And why is that? Because, of course, when you build a new system, a new central bank digital currency, it has to comply with all current regulations, not least money laundering, anti-money laundering regulations, know your customer regulations, etc. And central banks don't have experience with building such an infrastructure, maintaining it, keeping it available 24/7. Commercial banks, on the other hand, do have this experience and the resources. They maintain the current system. So I would think that a central bank digital currency will be a joint venture, a public-private partnerships between commercial banks and central banks. And that will then also mean that the impact on banks will be different and maybe less than when the central bank does it all alone. At the same time, there are a few well-identified risks of central bank digital currency. And one that's often mentioned is, of course, the digital bank run. And the idea that when you have a retail central bank digital currency available as an alternative to commercial bank deposits, then people can, with the click of a mouse or a swipe on their app, move their money from commercial bank deposits to a totally risk-free central bank deposit. I think this is indeed a real risk that needs to be researched well and needs to be cared about. At the same time, also in the current system, people can already, with a swipe on their app, move their money from one commercial bank account to an account at another commercial bank. So we already have this in the current system to some extent. So in that sense, I'm not highly worried about this. This should be manageable. Another impact will be that a central bank digital currency introduces a new risk-free asset on financial markets. Currently, especially wholesale parties, investment funds, insurers, pension funds, but also banks, when they have cash, they don't like to deposit it at a commercial bank because a commercial bank carries risk. You run a counterparty risk on a commercial bank. Not all parties in the financial system have access to central bank reserves. Only banks do. So for the other parties, we have the repo market, we have government bonds, government bills. And when in this system you introduce a new risk-free asset, namely the central bank digital currency, this will have a huge impact. And this will also mean, likely, that the cost of borrowing for governments and for banks will increase. So I think these aspects will need to be very well researched before you start to implement a central bank digital currency on a big scale, because this is really the plumbing of the economy. And, well, you really want to be very careful with that.
Yes, you linked well to some of the policy concerns as well. So, Jonathan, what would this mean for credit creation and maybe the fractional reserve banking model that we currently have and how monetary policy normally runs through these channels? What does it mean for policymaking?
Well, for starters, I can't agree more with my colleague, except to say that I would extend the arguments raised that central bank digital currency will somehow disintermediate commercial banks as more a situation of fear-mongering than it is a situation of actually thinking through the issue. So for starters, just because a central bank is called a central bank and a commercial bank is also called a bank, there's great assumption that they both do the same thing. They don't. A central bank is as close to a commercial bank as a river bank is to a central bank. Just because they're all banks, they do the same thing. And just because the central bank issues a digital currency, which by the way, they issue currency today, doesn't mean that the central bank is suddenly going to take on the role of a commercial bank. Commercial banks do not issue currency today. Looking forward, commercial banks will not issue currency in the future. Central banks issue currency today, and they will, looking forward, they will issue currency in the future. It's a form shift. It's not a role shift. And so discussing this in the light that a central bank is entering the business of commercial banking, if I might put it lightly, is nonsense. The second point I want to make is that this is all about design. The design of a central bank digital currency or a digital fiat currency is intended to replicate the features of a physical fiat currency. As long as the design is executed properly, there don't need to be any shifts in policy. However, if the central bank wants to leverage its digital currency to somehow effect an ultimate policy, then that's a big policy question. Let's just be clear, at least from our point of view, technology doesn't change policy. Policy drives technology. And I completely agree with my colleague here that those policy design questions will ultimately drive the functionality of a central bank digital currency. It won't be the other way around.
So this links well to the next question. How important is the technology? Does it play a big role in the future of payment systems? You see issues with scalability, resiliency being a big issue and something central banks are trying to resolve before they move forward with any of their projects. How does that look now?
I almost feel that since we are in the technology business, I almost feel that the technology's ability to do what a central bank requires it to do are table stakes. There is no choice, and there is hierarchy of table stakes. So we start with the initial fact of security or the ability for the digital fiat currency to be non-counterfeitable. That's going to be sort of the most important aspect of a digital fiat. Once the central bank issues it, it has to remain non-counterfeitable. From there, have the other issues of effecting instantaneous settlement, having access to it 24/7, highly resilient, eliminate any form of counterparty risk in a transaction. It has to behave as a bearer instrument, so whoever's holding it knows they're holding it and represents the owner. These other factors have to be implemented in technology, and I frankly believe that if the technology is not able to meet these requirements, the possibility of a digital fiat currency is eliminated. It's not a question of can the technology do it. The technology has to do it if you're going to issue a central bank currency.
I agree with that. And indeed, policy will drive technology and not the other way around. I fully subscribe to that. And in fact, this is probably one of the mistakes that is made sometimes in the area of cryptocurrency, also in the area of blockchain, where technology is presented as the solution that will bring us world peace, so to say. But that's unfortunately not how it works. It works the other way around. Indeed, policy has certain demands, certain requirements, and it's up to technology to fulfill them and to comply with them. Indeed, a central bank digital currency needs to be fully secure, instant settlement, and indeed it has to be able to have a high transaction processing capacity, anti-money laundering, regulatory real-time monitoring will need to be built in. And probably, I mean, I'm no technical expert, but probably from a technical perspective, this is possible. But indeed, the bigger challenges are in the governance, because as I said earlier, I think this will be a public-private partnership. You will need to have commercial banks on board. You will need to have central banks on board. But also, this system works best if it's international, because I think there is most to gain in the traditional world in cross-border transactions and not so much in domestic transactions. So in the ideal case, you would have the major central banks of the world sitting together with the big commercial banks of the world and creating this system together. And that will be the biggest challenge, to get all these people together in one room, to get them to agree to standards, to demands that will have to be met by the system. And that agreement and getting the governance right, I think that will be the biggest challenge for central bank digital currency.
On that final point, that concludes this week's podcast. Next week's podcast is the sixth episode of this year's Ahead of the European Central Bank series. We discuss the key questions ahead of the bank's monetary policy meetings, the tools at its disposal, and implications for the global economy.